Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. It really is. And welcome to Oasis Christian Center. We're going to continue this morning in a series that we've been looking at called Church Without Walls. In fact, this morning we're going to conclude. This is the last message in that series. And that's where we're going to go. So I want to speak this morning about your world. We've been looking at, as a church, for a number of weeks now, church outside these walls and outside any walls of whatever fellowship or whatever denomination you're part of or whatever church background you come from. We've been talking about, you know, what happens when we go from here, when we walk out of these doors or the doors of whatever fellowship you go to, and we spend 90%, you know, 10%, 7% of our time gathered. This is gathered church, meeting with other like-minded people who are Christians to encourage, be encouraged, to worship God together, to refuel our hearts and lives, and to serve Him. And then we spend 90% as scattered church, where you live your life in your world. Jesus said, go into all the world. And then we've been looking at, what is it to my world? Your world and my world, we're living in the same world, but it's very different from my world and your world. And what does that mean? And we've been looking at the implications of that as a church. And so that's where we've been going. So if you want to listen to anything of our church, go on to longeatonoasis.co.uk. Have a listen to the series that we've been looking at together if you've come in for the first time or you've not heard everything that's going on. But this morning, I want to take the theme of your world commitment. Last Sunday, we were looking at this idea of the cry of your world and prayer. And on the back of that, just for a moment or two, I was going to ask Perry. So we'll put a pause on this morning of where we're going to go forward with. But last week I was speaking about our world and the cry, our prayer for our world, and what it happens when we do pray for our world. And speaking to Perry a month or so ago, and a story that she's going to share about prayer.
Hi there, Philip and I live in Stanley Village, which is fairly rural, really, surrounded by fields. And we've got a dog. She's a Labradoodle, Millie. And every morning I take her for a walk across the fields. And one of the fields belongs to a friend of ours. And it's 2 or 3 weeks ago now. One of her horses was lying on the ground and she was kneeling at its head. And obviously the horse was very distressed. And I walked up to her and said, oh, what's wrong? And she said, I think it's got a twisted gut. Now, I think that's a proper word for the condition. It's fatal anyway. And she said she'd spoken to the vet who'd said, try and get the horse to stand, and it couldn't. And I said, well, if there's anything I can do, thinking this horse will have to be put to sleep soon, let me know. And I walked off with Millie, and as I walked off, I prayed for the horse, and I prayed for recovery, and I actually said, oh, God, let there be a miracle. Off I went, did my walk, came back, and return journey, through the field again. The horse was actually standing and the vet was due to come in the afternoon. And believe it or not, well, I do believe it, yes. I got a text from my friend who said, the horse has been pumped full of all sorts of things, vitamins and antibiotics and what have you, I don't know. The very next morning, I sent her a text saying, what an answer to prayer. I prayed for a miracle. And she texted back and said, thank you for praying for me. And that even when I saw her next, she actually said, thank you so much for praying. And I thought, I'm not very good at quoting the Bible at all, but I try to pray for people and to practice as a Christian. And I thought that was really good example for her to see that how we try and help. Okay, thank you.
Lovely, thank you. When we cry out for our world, things happen. Amazing, isn't it? Great. That's just a fantastic story. Thank you so much for sharing that. So this morning, we're going to look at your world commitment. We're going to close with this as our final message in this series. And this is what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, quoting from the NIV, he said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And so I'm going to just take up the theme of commitment to our world. What does that mean and how can we do that? How can we continue in that commitment? It's an incredible commitment, an intentional commitment to follow. What amazing words did Paul share there? He said to the church there, "Follow my example," that's Paul's, "as I follow Christ." "Follow me," said Paul. Another translation says, "as I follow Christ." That's an incredible commitment. He wasn't saying, "just follow me for I do anything I like." He said, "because I follow Christ, I mirror him. I do everything." It's an incredible commitment. And to be a follower of Jesus, to be a Christian, is a commitment. And it's an incredible commitment. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's exciting, it's challenging, it's all of those things. And it's amazing and life-changing. And how can we continue in that commitment? How do you keep fueling that desire, that commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Because that's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone that is a follower of Jesus. You're not the follower of the denomination that you're akin to, or the teaching, or the different reverend or pastor or father or whatever it is, or vicar, whatever it is. We're not following them, but a Christian is someone who's a follower of Jesus. You don't follow your own opinions. Perhaps we might be fooled that I'm following mine. I think quite highly of myself. In actual fact, at the end of the day, it's the following of Jesus. The following of Jesus that changes everything, that is everything. And that carries an incredible, beautiful, wonderful, powerful, life-changing, world-transforming commitment. And so I want to ask the question with this morning, how can we continue in that? How can we fuel that? And I'm going to suggest to you three simple things this morning. Three simple things that I pray will help you, help me, help us fuel our commitment, as it were, in our Christian walk and our desire, our passion, our zeal, and our experience of this amazing living God in our hearts and lives. I'm going to suggest to you it's our following of Jesus, our loving of our world, and the desire to refuel our lives. There's three things that I believe would help us continue in this commitment. First thing is following. Paul said, follow. So three things. First thing is this. In my desire, Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 17 to a group of people, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of people." An older translation is the fishers of men. It does mean generally all people. And so Jesus said, "Come follow me," Mark 1 verse 17, "and I will make you fishers of people." Again and again, Jesus would say to people, "Follow me, pick up your cross and come after me." If anyone wants to know the power and presence and love of God, Jesus said things like, "Pick up your cross daily and come after me, follow me." And again, you'll see this and read this, that it's our desire to follow Jesus. To follow. To follow is an intentional commitment to give our lives continually to Jesus. One word, one sentence, bit of a mouthful, so let's unpack it a bit. But I would suggest to you this morning that to be a follower of Jesus, to be a Christian, if we call yourself, sometimes people say to me, "Call yourself a Christian. You say this and you do that." You know when people say that to you. But if we call ourselves, if I call myself a Christian, then I'm a Christian because it means I'm a follower. Now, if I'm a follower, this is what I'm going to suggest to you. A definition of that could be, it's an intentional commitment to give my life, your life, continually to Jesus. Whether you go to church or not, reading the Bible, it's an intentional commitment to give our lives continually to Jesus. It's a relationship. You've heard it said again and again. It's not about regulation. It's about relation. It's not about laws. It's about love. And so when we talk about intentional commitment, as soon as you say commitment, that particular C word, that the, as soon as you say commitment, we continual commitment to Jesus, it causes something in the heart to start to rise and to run, as it were, run from or run away from at times. But it's all about love. It's not about what I've got to do, what I mustn't do. You've got to commit to this. You've got to come to that. You've got to go here. You've got to read this. You've got to do that. We think about the law, but it's about the love. A passionate, open heart that loves him and is loved by him. But it takes intentional. It has to be intentional. An intentional commitment to continually open our hearts to him. And you know, we've got to come back to that again and again and again and again. Why? Because commitment will face challenge. Anything you commit to, there will be a challenge along the way. You commit yourself to a particular marriage. You commit yourself to work in a particular job. You commit yourself to a certain task. You commit yourself into a church. You commit yourself to love Jesus. There will come moments in our lives where you commit yourself to study. You go off to university. Whatever we give ourselves to, we've got to come back to that again and again, in love and in hope and in open heart and in desire and in care and in opening up our hearts to God, because it will face and we will face challenge from time to time. You know, in the 23rd Psalm, often read at funerals, but it's a poetry song of life and love, of following Jesus, of following God. It was written in the Old Testament era, but it can be alluded to now, Jesus the great shepherd. And the psalmist David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. He leads me. He leads me." It has something about following in it. And so it speaks of this idea of following, intentional, continual. And you know, in the 23rd Psalm, the journey has valleys, dry places, shadow places, even like death. And in life, there will be valleys, there'll be shadow places, there'll be challenge. We will trip up from time to time. And there's this desire, and he says, he will lead me. And it goes on to say from that, he will lead me into good pasture. Ultimately, and that isn't just in heaven. That isn't just for the future state, a heavenly realm, a place. But there is a place of great and good pasture in our hearts and lives in the here and now as well, as we follow him. And so it will desire, my intention, my heart. There will be so many things that will come your way and my way. And you're probably saying, tell me about it right now. You've got stuff that is eating away at your life and your heart and your time and your intention and your mind and your emotions. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on in life today that will suck away, that will pull us away, that will draw us. And so this is why David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will commit myself continually." I don't know about you, but the day I became a Christian, I remember it incredibly so well, where I was transferred from light to darkness. Going to the dark side, that's all Darth Vader, isn't it? From darkness into light. Don't panic. And to me, I sensed a moment of commitment. But do you know what? I've sensed those moments of commitment again and again. Not that I've become born again and again, but that sense and desire, I want to live for you, Jesus. I'm going to give you my life and heart. I love you so much, Lord. I know that my heart is colder than it was. And I don't have to beat myself up. It's because I love him. Because I love him. And he loves us. And more to the point, and this is the point, and this is greater, he loves you. I can't outgive or outdo that love. And that's more to the point. It's because of that awesome, inspiring, all-inspiring love that we reach out to him. But we've got to follow. There's an intentional commitment to give our lives continually to Jesus. There's an area of your life that you need to give your life to him on. Is there an area of your life that you need to give, that you need to give? Is there? A man called Tim Keller, Christian writer, pastor, leader, said this: Jesus says, "I want you to follow me so fully, so intensely, so enduringly that all other attachments in your life look weak by comparison. I read that and I thought, oh my word, what a challenge. What a beautiful challenge. Not like, oh my word, I'm a worm. But what a beautiful. See, when we view it in love, it becomes a beautiful thing. If we view it by law, it becomes, oh, God, I suppose if I must. If I've got to be there. If I've got to sit there for the next another 15 minutes while he rabbits on. Jesus says, Tim Keller says, I'll read it again. Jesus says, I want you to follow me so fully, so intensely, so enduringly, that all other attachments in your life look weak by comparison. It's because of the intensity, because of the enduring nature, because of the desire, because of the love, these things become weak. We don't have to push these things aside to make them weak. They become weak by comparison. Isn't that amazing? Let's follow him. By following. Second thing is this. Love your world. If we're going to fuel our commitment, if we're going to, follow him to the full, then we've got to love our world. We've got to love your world. Your world. Your world and my world. Our world. The world that you find yourself in at work and at play and in the gym and at the university and at college, at school, when you're shopping or whatever it is, at the checkout, driving to the petrol pump, and somebody's cutting you up. And we've got to love our world. As I said earlier, we're gathered at the moment as church. This is gathered church. We've come together with other like-minded people with the same spirit and heart. And that's what, and we've come inside some walls where to facilitate a meeting together, and but we'll scatter as church in a few moments, and that's your world, wherever we're scattered to, and the rest of our week, and somebody says church doesn't end when we leave the building, it begins in many ways, it starts as we're released into the world, as we're free and we're about in our world, and. In John 3:16, it's a verse that's often quoted at, missional rallies and things. But for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. If you believe in him, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. But if we just rewind for a second. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And Jesus said this to his disciples in John 20, verse 21. As the Father sends me, I send you. Same love. Same love. We could all tut and Brexit, government, parties, protests. So many protest groups today. Gotta love our world. Environmental. Gotta love our world. The church is the hope of the world. It's not just the Green Party or the Labour Party, the Conservative Party, the Liberal Party. The church is the hope of the world. God so loves. He sends. Love sends. And we're to love. Love our world. Love our world. Mother Teresa, amazing woman of God, known for her work in Calcutta to the destitute, the dying on the street, literally, okay? This is what but she has a lot to say about love. Because she loved. So if you look at quotes on love, Christian quotes on love, Mother Teresa comes up again and again and again because she did it. She just pure loved. Amazing in a country with a caste system. She's an amazing woman. Anyway, Mother Teresa said this about love, one of the many quotes. She said, do not think that love, in order to be genuine, has to be extraordinary. What we need is to love without getting tired, to be faithful in small things because it is in them that your strength lies. Sometimes we think, I've got to do this big thing or that big thing, and I've got. Love is extraordinary when it's God's love. Love changes everything. So she wasn't saying it's not extraordinary, but don't build it up so much that you've got to do this great mighty act to love. Love can be something incredibly simple and continual. That's what she's saying. Amazing, isn't it? So we can't then sort of say, well, I can't do that. There was a season, and it comes from time to time, random acts of kindness. Acts of kindness. You don't have to be a Christian to have acts of kindness, and you can go on the internet and find random acts of kindness, you know. But something about kindness, isn't there? You know, all of us can be thoughtful. In God, I'm talking. You don't have to be a Christian to be thoughtful, but I'm saying in God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, inspired by his amazing agape love, to be thoughtful, that type of thought, to be kind, gracious, to listen. You know, again and again now, even on the main TV, terrestrial TV, lots of advertising about just listen. We don't talk enough to each other and we don't listen. To have a listening ear today has now become a new thing. Probably because we're so stuck in our digital media that we don't have time to even look at each other and listen and talk. But to listen, to forgive, to be prayerful. You know, Perry shared just a story about prayer, being prayerful. That's love. Acts of love. Loving your world, loving my world. The Christian speaker and megachurch pastor Joel Osteen says, pick someone up when they feel pushed down. How about that? If you could pick someone up when another person is feeling pushed down. I don't know in your world. Where is there? Who is there in your world? What's going on where you could love? A commitment to love. As the Father sends me, says Jesus, I send you. I send you. And so there's this commitment to love our world, to show kindness. Today, how can you and I be kind? I'm sure when I get home later, my Helen's going to show me, show me how I could be kind. Love our world. And finally, so if we're going to fuel our commitment, if we're going to keep the cause, to be continual, to know passion, to know, then we've got to follow. We've got to love our world. We've got to follow Jesus, love our world. And there needs to be a commitment to refuel your life. We need to be filled for the journey. We need to be continually filled for the journey. This journey of life, this journey of Christian life. It's not just a journey of life, this Christian life, this desire to be God, to follow Jesus, to live for Jesus and to show Jesus and be Jesus to the world in which I live. Then I need to be filled for the journey. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. In actual fact, to get the context, he says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking into a debauched world. But the interesting thing is, he says, be filled with the Spirit. The word there, you'll probably know, it means be continually filled with the Spirit. In other words, be continually influenced. Be fully influenced. Don't be under the influence of alcohol, but be under the influence of the Spirit. There's an interesting dimension. Fully influenced. Flood your mind, your heart, your soul, and your spirit. To be, and that's about the influence, allowing the influence into every area of our hearts, minds, and spirits. Interesting, in Romans chapter 12, Paul again in Romans 12 verse 11, I'll quote you from the NIV and then another translation in a moment. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Romans 12. I love the book of Romans. We're, as a church, in our life groups, looking at Romans. Romans is not, you know, it's not just about heavy, heavy doctrine. There's some incredible, beautiful, practical things in Paul's letter to the Romans. And this is one of them. He says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Romans 12, verse 11. The Message translates that, or paraphrases that, verse 11. Don't burn out, but keep yourselves fueled in a flame. I love the Message on this occasion. Not on every occasion, but on this occasion, the Message, the paraphrase of verse 11 that I've just read, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. In the Message, it reads, verse 11, don't burn out, keep yourselves fueled and aflame. You know, we need to be people that refuel, as it were. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Peter says, Jesus says rather to the disciples, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Dunamis, the potential of miracles when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we need to be refuel. You know, if you go down a motorway, it will say, tiredness kills. Take a stop is the idea there. Refuel your own emotions. Take a rest. Take some food. I could say a few other things that you could do, but I won't. I won't say what they could be. But fill your car with petrol, whatever it might be. I don't know. But we need to take a moment to refuel. But tiredness does kill. Kills your faith. Kills your faith. I meet so many Christians. I meet lots of Christians. And so we're called to refuel, to reflect, to stop, to reflect. Take a moment. It's sort of as simple as that. A couple of things in refueling then. Some simple practical things. You know, gather with others. Like, well, it's what we're doing now. Gathering. Gather with others. It says in the Bible that iron sharpens iron. We will spark one another. We will fire each other up. We will cause sparks when we come together as well. Of course we do. But it's powerful to... And so this is why in the letter to the Hebrews, Paul says, don't forsake gathering together, as some are in the habit of doing. But meet and encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. So there's this gathering, the idea of being like-minded believers, giving our hearts to one another, encouraging, sharing, carrying, releasing, inspiring one another in God, gathering together. A second thing I'd say is not only gather with others, but gather our hearts to his word. Gather your heart to his word. You know, open up your heart and your mind and your spirit to the word of God. I don't know about you, but when you read, do you read and then you've read, and you think, I don't know what I've just read. Quite a lot of us would feel that, because I feel like that. I feel like that. You read, you put it down, you think, well, that was good. And it is good, by the way, to do that, to read. And to put it down, even if you can't remember, that's still going to be doing you good. I don't doubt that, so I'm not going to... But I would say this. There's something you can do that's just a little bit more that helps you go... three things in that gathering your heart. Ponder, pray, practice. Ponder. When you read, there's something that is of another era that would have said meditate. I don't know if you've heard that word. Not meditate, empty your mind. Meditate and fill your mind. Eastern meditation empties the mind. Christian, as in meditating on, say, the New Testament, meditating, if I was to meditate on Romans 12, verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, I'd think about that, ponder it. Fill my mind with that verse. Christian meditation is to ponder, think about. When you ponder, you take a moment. If you're going to meditate, you have to take a moment. A casual read will not do. A casual read is good. It's better than not doing a read. But it will not be enough to really refuel. You know, you don't have to spend all day doing that, but to take a moment. Now, your moment and my moment might be different. You might need 10 minutes where I need an hour. But that's not the point. It's not the time limit or maximum. It's just take a moment. God sees the heart. You take a moment. You see, when Moses was walking and his eye was caught by a burning bush, he could have walked on, but he took a moment to ponder and have a look at the bush. And as he pondered and looked at the bush, that God spoke. And it's as we ponder that we often God will speak. Just a moment. 10 minutes less on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it might be just might give you that moment of ponder that allows us to hear what God has to say, to ponder, to pray. When you read something and you think about it for a moment, then my prayer would be, let that be in me. I would pray something like, never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Oh Father God, you know, I stirring up my heart right now. As I read that, keep my spiritual fervor. Light a fire afresh in me. Do you see what I'm saying? I begin to ponder that, then I begin to pray that. It's only moments, but it starts to do something. You see, prayer, ponder with prayer, and then I've got to do something about it. Practice. The simple thing of stepping out and says, I'm going to live for your glory. Going into work and saying a certain thing rather than doing another thing. Practice. Those three simple things do something incredible. Begins to bring about, through the power of the Holy Spirit, spiritual transformation. A fire begins to burn and is a light in you and me. So we gather together with others. We gather our hearts to his word. Final thing I would say, if we're going to refuel, gather my heart to him. Most importantly of all, gather my heart to him. Open my heart, my mind to Jesus. To really, truly open my heart and mind. So to do that, inspiration comes out of relationship. Inspiration comes out of the relationship with Jesus. So many people want to hear and want an answer to. And you can Google it. You can. The algorithms are now pretty incredible that you can Google most things. But I'm not sure if that's inspired. Is it right for the moment? You can find out about this and find out about that and do this and do that. But is that exactly what God wants me to do today? Is that what God wants of my life at this moment? It might be. I've Googled it. I've got lots of options. But that might be really good. And it's not wrong to Google, by the way. But if I want to be inspired, I want to know, absolutely know, that I know deep in my soul and spirit, this is right. Even in the face of things that seem to be that it doesn't look right. You know, in the face of a nation, we need inspiration, don't we, as a nation? You know, with all the stuff that's going on in our nation, in parliament and stuff. I don't knock any of that. I pray for our leaders, pray for government, pray for inspiration, pray for a renewal in our nation of the heart and hand of God. And we need inspiration, don't we? So that comes from a heart that is given to him. And if I'm going to give my heart to Jesus, a longing and a lingering. To linger. Funny word that, isn't it? Linger. To linger. If you think about it, what a funny old word that is. But it means to wait. The early Pentecostals used to have something called tarrying meetings. They wait. It became, later on, many years later, it became a methodology. And it undid, perhaps in some ways, not always, the good work of lingering for a moment. I'm not saying you have to be a malingerer, hanging around, making a nuisance of yourself. But I think with Jesus, we never make a nuisance of ourselves when we wait on him. We never make a nuisance of ourselves. He loves and loves you, loves our presence, loves to be present with us. He is with us. He's in us by the power of his spirit. But there's a waiting, there's a moment, it doesn't have to be all day. And so, yeah, so there's this desire. And to do that, I need to maybe let go of some stuff that takes up my time, that holds on to me. I don't know what you need to do. I know what's in my life, and I know the stuff that consumes me, that takes up my heart, my attention, that shatters my heart. And there's maybe some things that you and I, your attention is being taken up so much that you haven't got much time to ponder. You haven't got much time to ponder. You haven't got much time to perhaps ponder. And so we're called to open our hearts to the release of the influence of the Holy Spirit. Opening up my mind every day to the release and influence of the person of the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, the Spirit, Jesus said, I send the Spirit to be with you and in you. And so being filled with the Spirit is receiving the Spirit within us and releasing in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, in our desires, in my will, empowered, more of you, Lord. Less of me, more of you. And I don't have to beat myself up to do that. You don't have to beat yourself up to do that. I'll finish with this. A.W. Tozer said this, the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. It's not just a Pentecostal thing. You know, we're in a happy Pentecostal church. We need the anointing of the Spirit. Spirit, the filling, the release of the Holy Spirit is part and parcel of Christian life. And so we're called to follow. We're called to, the worship team are going to come back and we're going to conclude together this morning and be fueled, refueled with a desire to follow, to love our world, and to be filled afresh with the person and presence and influence, the influence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives this morning, so that we can truly be committed to our world and the cause of Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just open our hearts and lives to you at this time. We in your presence, we just say, Lord, will you just help me follow you? Love my world, and will you fill me? I want to refuel, as it were, my energy, my spiritual energy, my heart, my life. And I just open up my heart and say, I'm going to give you my life afresh today. Take these hands, take my eyes, take my heart, my feet. I want to give myself to you afresh. And I thank you, Father God, that when we come with an open heart, you never disappoint. Jesus, you never turned people away. You never told them off. Wherever you saw open hearts, you welcome. In actual fact, you say, come to me, all of you. If you're weary, heavy laden, life is sucking you dry, concerned this morning, I will give you rest, refreshing, renewal. And so this morning, Father God, some of us come with minds that are weighed down with a lot of stuff. Work is getting harder and harder. There are more and more concerns that I have. Concerns about health, finance. So much stuff in my life that's going on. Many things to do. So I come to you, Jesus, with open hearts and open hands. Holy Spirit, would you just fill us afresh? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never come to a point in your life where you've said, Holy Spirit, fill me. I know I was a Christian 2 or 3 years before I came to a point in my life where I said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're a bit like me at that time and you've never done that in your life. Then this morning, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh. Come anew. I pray for anyone here this morning, no matter what church background we're from, that you might fill us afresh, anew, for the very first time. Maybe you're here this morning and life is busy. Family, just the daily earning your bread, your crust, work, targets, lack of work, finance. Fill us afresh, Lord Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and there's stuff in your life, and it's not necessarily bad, it's good stuff, but you find it's taking up more and more and more attention, and I have less attention on you, Jesus. Forgive us. Forgive me for that. Give me a fresh focus. I just draw aside for a moment to the burning bush to ponder you here right now. Holy Spirit, be released afresh in me. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing and seal in our hearts that which God wants to do this morning. If you're anxious, receive sound mind. You're sick in body, receive healing in your body. If there's a need of renewal, let's open our hearts to the flow of the Holy Spirit. Let's believe you answer. Yeah, let's stand together if you can. Let's open our hands to heaven. Let's open our hearts. Let him have his way.
The splendor of the King. Close.